Well, these economic conditions broadly mean millions of Australian households are facing a cash flow crisis. The emergency money the government has pushed out the door has helped cushion the blow, and it's flagged that there could be more. But as it stands, many people could face insolvency in coming months when current emergency measures are scheduled to dry up. Gavin Coote takes a look at how people have survived and what might be needed next.
Not long before COVID-19 came along, Lisa Barnum was battling the bushfires, which threatened her home near Nowra on the New South Wales south coast. She and her husband are freelance designers and academics, so they lost most of their income.
Because we really couldn't leave the property. We were afraid that we would be under fire. So that was the first entree into figuring out how we were going to sort of juggle fire issues and cash flow issues and actually have access to work.
The couple sought a bushfire assistance grant from their bank. Lisa Barnum's teaching work has been cut by two-thirds, and with money so tight, they decided to freeze their mortgage repayments.
We had to come up with a strategy on what to back up on, and the same bank that offered us the grant in January offered us the opportunity to freeze our mortgage. So we have frozen our mortgage for 6 months, but what it has allowed us to do is the income we do have, which has been cut down considerably, we get to meet the demands of all our other bills.
So far, the Australian Banking Association says almost 500,000 mortgages have been deferred, but customers still accrue interest on their debt. And Lisa Barnum's under no illusion about this.
You're going to have a little bit of a bill to pay at the end of the 6 months. You know, we're waiting for that. So how we will address it, I'm not sure at the moment, but we're not worried. And we have some work, so we're fortunate.
It's not just the banks that have set up hardship support for struggling households. Insurance, telecommunications and energy companies have also allowed customers to hold off on their payments without fear of being disconnected. The New South Wales Energy and Water Ombudsman, Janine Young, says it's too early to get a full picture of just how much of a lifeline this support has been.
To put it simply, COVID-19 has amplified the high cost of electricity. Only now are people getting their first bills reflecting those working at home arrangements. Once we get a winter bill in a further 3 months, that's when I guess the rubber will really hit the road from a vulnerability perspective for families.
Would you be keen to see some of these support measures that have been rolled out during COVID-19 remain at least until we get right through this economic crisis?
I've started to have conversations with my contacts at energy retailers, senior contacts, to find out what they're going to do, I guess, post 31 July, which is sort of the date for these initiatives in energy to first be reviewed. From what I've heard, it's positive. I guess it's what happens now. And to my mind and my peers at the Telecommunications Industry Ombudsman and the Australian Financial Complaints Ombudsman is what will happen once interest rates and mortgage deferrals start to get lifted, because then we'll really need a holistic sector approach to helping people get through these debts.
Brendan Coates is the Households Finance Program Director at the Grattan Institute. He warns a financial cliff is looming, with the expectation the bulk of the government stimulus will finish up by September, and a reluctance from the private sector to continue hardship assistance.
For the banks, they're providing liquidity support, so people who they think will be able to repay those debts, but just are having trouble paying them right now, and that's why they're deferring those mortgages. But at some point, they'll find out that some customers are in fact going to be insolvent, which is to say they'll never pay back those debts, and there will be a bunch of Australians that won't be able to pay their mortgages, and the banks have in fact set aside quite a bit of capital already on the expectation that that's going to happen.
Brendan Coates from the Grattan Institute speaking with Gavin Coote.